Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Amy Barton.
And I'm Trace Kerr. And today we're going to bring you everything you never knew you wanted to know about insults. So start us off with some old school, old timey insulting, Amy.
Are we wanting to talk about flighting?
We're going back and we're talking about flighting.
So flighting is super great. If you Google this, it's F-L-Y-T-I-N-G. You will immediately see it compared to rap battles. But it dates back to the 5th century up through the 16th century. The original Old English word flitten means quarrel, but it's a very stylized poetic. So you would share this little poem of insults at your neighbor and then he would try to insult back at you. But it's like very spur of the moment. The most quick-witted and poetic would win the day. So Beowulf would be the early example of flighting. This often was a precursor to conflict, as you might imagine, especially if alcohol was involved.
They're throwing insults and then stab.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Probably punch. I don't know. It depends on the situation.
Do you have an example of some smoking hot flighting?
So that is an interesting... Trace and I have been Googling to find good examples for you that were both family friendly, because this is kind of a fun thing. If you are a clever person, you might be great at this. But the two problems we have run into with this and why we're only going to have an example or two is, first, Old English, Gaelic, Scottish, Norse, we don't read those. And the ones that have been translated, not always appropriate. So one of them that we found was the style and language of Robert Burns' To a Louse says, "Ye ugly creepin' blasted wanner, detested shunned by saints and sinner." And that's the Americanized version of that. But it would be little blurbs like that. Let's find another one. Oh boy. This one is written, it's got translations on the side.
Oh, is it Old English?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I took Old English in college. Let's see. "Your windy shaken shankers, your lothy leggers, crooked as a camock and cowakavas, bringing you out of favor with all female taggies." I don't know what a taggy is, but basically it's a woman.
"Your windy shaken shanks, your lothy legs." So that's like skinny boy legs?
Yeah, your skinny boy legs and your crooked legs.
"It brings you out of favor with all the ladies."
Yeah, so you got your skinny legs and your knobby knees hanging there out of your kilt, and you are a waste of space because the women are like, "Ew, nasty legs. I'm not so interested."
This particular website has translations for some of the more difficult words, and they're all things like groaning, gnashing, grunting, perverse behavior, unimportant, impudent, skittishly. All the words are like that. So they're very insulting and very provoking. So all of these have that tendency to be tremendously insulting to your manliness and to your ability to provide for yourself and others.
Flighting is all about knocking a person. What I'm going to talk about are yo mama jokes.
Excellent.
Which also have a long and storied tradition. In fact, the first yo mama joke, which I can't read because it's really offensive, was on a tablet in ancient Babylonia.
I love that somebody took the time to chisel your mama joke.
Right? You know, ancient Rome had graffiti, which I also can't read to you, that talked about people's mothers and questionable origins of fathers. They did a cross-cultural study of 103 different languages and insults. And in 66 of those languages, the worst insult you could throw at somebody was about their mother.
We're dedicated to our mothers.
Oh, so this is another thing. It's thought that possibly a yo mama joke might have been part of the start of World War I.
Tell me that story.
Okay, so in 1914, Archduke Ferdinand, who on all accounts was an unpleasant sort of fellow that a lot of people didn't like, he was assassinated. Now, he wasn't assassinated because of the joke, but he was at a party just a few days beforehand, and he said to a member of the Austro-Hungarian cabinet, "Your female progenitor is such a commoner, I hear tell she has but 3 servants." And the whole place just went dead quiet.
Whoa.
Because, you know... Whoa, he just said that his mom didn't have any, you know.
She's common.
Yeah, she's such a commoner. And then a few days later, he's in a car and they want to drive one direction. And he's like, no, I've got this. Let's go this way. And then he's killed. It probably wasn't the joke, but certainly it helped to inflame, you know, the passions of the people who were around him. So got to be careful.
They do definitely get at the roots of your family's character.
You know, we insult each other for all sorts of things, but the mother thing just comes back over and over and over again. And that all started with something called the dozens.
Okay.
The first academic treatment or notice of the dozens was made in 1939 by a Yale-based psychologist and social theorist, John Dullard. And he was talking about how the dozens is a pattern of interactive insults among all classes, men, women, children, adults, where you have two people and I'm going to insult you. So just like flighting, the whole idea was to throw these insults back and forth at each other. And, you know, so what kind of insult?
Yes. Okay. Sure.
Such good insults. So your mom is so stupid, it takes her an hour to cook minute rice.
Uh-huh.
Your mom is so old, I told her to act her own age and she died. Oh, and this is good. So your mom is so ugly, she walked into a haunted house and walked out with a job application.
I love that they're tremendously childish. They definitely strike at tender spots.
Yes. They definitely well, and that's the whole point of insults, right? Is to find the person's weak spot and slash at it. And yeah.
And it's such a concise two sentences and they can really just shred you.
Yes, absolutely.
So being good at it is like the flighting. It's very artful if you're good at it.
There is some thought that the dozens, it's the progenitor of rap.
Okay.
It's thought that it was the verbal dueling was the fuel for the Harlem Renaissance. That's what it is. It all comes down in one big way to yo mama jokes.
Awesome.
Everybody all over the world is insulting their mothers. There are some that I found in Finnish, your mother married a reindeer. Chinese, your mother is a big turtle. Now, this one is good because female turtles are promiscuous. You know, they have multiple male partners. Mm-hmm. Calling someone a big turtle is actually
very offensive.
Yeah. In fact, that's the big guns. Like, that's the one you break out
it's
at the end.
It's going to start the fight or shut it down.
Pretty much, yeah. Yes. Yeah. The person, everybody's like, whoa, back away.
Yes.
Going in a slightly different direction. We're not going to insult your mother. I'm going to come right for you. The Italian, right. This is Italian. You're not even good at dying.
Oh.
Yeah. And then, a Spanish one, you're so ugly, you could make an onion cry.
Oh,
I've been using these all week because they make me happy.
The Italians, interestingly, they are apparently good at this. I just keep thinking of little things where the Italians came up. This must be an artful thing that they cultivate, especially too.
And since we're being wordsmithy, let's just slice you right through the liver, you know, and make you cry.
Aww.
We can also make people cry with gestures.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we're not going to talk about...
There's not too many we can talk about,
no,
friends.
There's not. But I do have some good ones. So, for example...
You know, are you going to talk about the one with the V for victory, the waving the fingers?
No.
Do you know that one?
No, I don't.
So, that goes back ye olden days of bow and arrows. If you wave your arrow fingers, the ones that draw back the bow, it means you still have your fingers. They haven't captured you and chopped your fingers off. The catch and release program of taking that weapon away. You can't use that weapon if you don't have those pull fingers. So if you had those fingers still, it was super offensive and really enraged the enemy if you waved them at people. I keep making bunny ears at Trace,
I know. I'm like, I'm looking at you and I'm like, well, that's so insulting when you're like, little bunny foo-foo hopping through the forest. And then you're like, no, I'm going to lop off your fingers at the first knuckle.
Yep, exactly.
Yikes.
So that's one of those historical gestures why in certain countries it does not fly like it does. Like you could maybe do it either direction in ours, but I think it's kind of offensive.
Oh, no, you don't ever do the backwards V. And I'm not going to tell you why. Just don't go to the UK and make a V, like a peace sign with your knuckles facing out. Just don't do it because it's bad news.
Anywho, back to your notes.
One last gesture is with your head. So in the United States where we are, if you were to ask me a question and I nod my head up and down, you're going to assume that I'm agreeing. So if you're in Greece or Bulgaria and I nod my head up and down, that means no.
Oh, really?
I could be like, do you want to have a prostate exam? And I would nod my head up and down in Bulgaria and you'd know, no, I don't want one. And here in the United States, you'd be like, well, that's weird, but you don't have a prostate. Let's make that happen.
That is so excellent.
And since we're talking about the prostate, let's move on and talk about mooning.
That's what started this whole ball rolling. There was a wonderful article written by my new favorite journalist, Forrest Wickman, for TheSlate.com. Shared the history of mooning, and I would like to share some highlights of that history with you now, because it's a terrific subject.
I'm so excited, and I'm going to keep my pants on.
I'm going to start...
What is mooning? Because maybe somebody doesn't know.
Mooning is when you take your trousers down and you bare your buns. So if you've seen Braveheart or the movie Brave, you have seen this, where they flash their rear end, usually shake it. It's usually a sign of derision. Probably the earliest documentation of the first century AD, although it is believed this is also very, very ancient, like Yoawama and flighting. This has been an offensive thing. Josephus says, one of the soldiers, raising his robes, stooped in an indecent attitude so as to turn his backside to the people and made a noise in keeping with his posture. There, it's often interlinked with that you are farting in someone's general direction. This is a very Monty Python subject, which makes me super happy. Mooning really hits its stride in the Middle Ages around the time of the Fourth Crusade in 1203, of which we all know.
Of course.
Yeah. Apparently, during this time, the Byzantines showed their bare buttocks in derision to the fleeing foe. So that's often you're fleeing, and so they can expose their backside because you're running away.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to be careful, because if you were in a battle and you did that, you could get an arrow in a cheek.
Exactly. Yes. Apparently, Italian noblemen dropped trousers and exposed his rear to the Lord as a sign of abuse and reviling. So there's definitely, apparently in the Middle Ages, gargoyles were often in the posture of mooning. Others describe them as defecating, but these are very interlinked, and that is kind of why it's insulting too.
We'll be posting pictures of bare-butted gargoyles.
Yeah, by the 1500s, this came to the United States. The Abenaki tribe were trading with Italians, and when this trade was over, the tribe mooned the Italians. So this is not a win for the Italians in the insult world. There was not fondness between the Italians and just Europeans in general and the tribal people of the U.S.
Yeah.
Understandably. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that, like, they fleeced the Italians in that one. I kind of hope that they had a win.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I choose to believe, that that's what happened, that it was like, not only did we get a stinking good deal off you guys, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Flash.
My favorite part of Mr. Wickman's article is the 19th century New Zealand Maori had a practice called, this is going to be wrong, you can just know, waka pohane. It's the deliberate act of exposure conveying the utmost form of insult. And so this has been something that has been a part of their tribal history for a long time. And in modern Maori history, in 1986, a Maori activist painted a Maori man bearing his buttocks on the side of his van. So think 1986 van. It's not a minivan. This is a big van. And he tried to join the Queen's motorcade.
Oh, that probably went over great.
It did. He was arrested, I'm sure. And the Queen didn't notice, which is a little bit of a bummer because I think that would have been a splash. But I appreciate the boldness of that gesture. So I would encourage all of you to read the whole article because I've left out tons of great stuff on mooning.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Everything you never knew you wanted to know about butts. Oh, and before we go, check out, there's a YouTube channel called Anglophenia.
Oh, yes. I can't believe I forgot this till now.
Right? Well, we'll have a link on our website for her. She's reciting Shakespearean insults at people in the workplace. I don't think this is rated G.
It might be.
Take a look at it before you show it to your younger kidly people, but it's fantastic. Yeah. It is great.
Super good. You'll enjoy them. Please come visit us at brainjunkpodcast.com. We will have pictures and more notes, not pictures of mooning. We will have more Yo Mama jokes. You can find our historical links on some of the topics we talked about. You can find the Slate article to which I referred so lovingly. For this and other wonderful episodes, look for Brain Junk wherever you find your podcasts, like iTunes and Google Play Store. We tweet at My Brain Junk, and you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Brain Junk Podcast.
Amy and I will catch you next Tuesday when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know, and I guarantee you will not be bored.